So Genesis 4, once you've found your place, please be upstanding if you're able to stand in the reading and for the Word of God. We're going to read verses 1 through to 7. And the Bible mentions here, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thy be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall it be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? As we stand before the Lord to pray, and as we have our heads bowed before the Lord, I just want you to take a moment before I pray and settle your hearts and say, Lord, maybe something along these lines, Lord, would you help me not to be distracted by anything that had taken place in the last week, the last few days, perhaps even today? Lord, would you help me stay focused to your word? Lord, please get a hold of my heart and help me keep focus. Probably something along those lines. Maybe some of you are burdened, troubled, weary, tired, discouraged. Maybe you'll take the time to do that today, this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. We thank you, dear God, how you deal with us by your love. Father, if it weren't for your love and your mercies, we are just consumed. We are finished. We're so thankful that you're so tender-hearted toward us. You're so forgiving toward us. You're so patient toward us, long-suffering. Father, we're so thankful that you'd consider us. And many a times we fall, and many a times we fail, but yet, Lord, you're there to always pick us up, help us. We're so thankful, Father, that you help us to acknowledge our errors, our sins before us, and that, Father, you give us time to repent. When we have bad thinking, when we simply act and give in to temptation, when we yield to the flesh, we're so thankful, Father, for your tender touch and your sweet small voice of the Holy Spirit that convicts us. We're so thankful for your righteous word, your holiness, who you are, your word that you exalt above your name. We thank you, Father, that you simply encourage us and convict us and challenge us through your word. And we'd ask and pray this morning that you do thus, Lord, and that we'd give you room to do so. And that you'd remove any hindrances from this place and from our hearts and minds. The word of God, may take full course, liberty in our hearts. Help us to respond to your word Search our hearts. Try our thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in us. And Lord, lead us in the way of everlasting. Help us this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This passage before us is a classic example of God accepting a sacrifice or an offering or a gift and rejecting a sacrifice, offering, and a gift. We see that God had respect to Abel's offering, but yet had no respect to Cain's offering. The word here, respect, means to gaze upon, to consider, to acknowledge. So in other words, we have a sacrifice by Abel which God considered. He acknowledged it. He simply pondered and gazed upon it. It was good. But yet we have another sacrifice by Cain, which wasn't considered by God and was rejected. Well, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, notice this phrase now, acceptable unto God. We understand by that passage that God has an acceptable sacrifice that he wants us to present and an unacceptable sacrifice. He simply says that we ought to be living sacrifice, holy, which is acceptable unto who? Unto God. He says also that the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 5:9, he says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in, notice this phrase now, truth, this word, in truth. And we know from John 4 that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the second part of that, or the verse 10 of Ephesians 9 says, proving what is acceptable unto God. And so therefore we see that there's sacrifices that are acceptable unto God and unacceptable to God. And in 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted by him. He's even talking about his labor of love in the ministry, that he would be accepted by God. And then we see in Psalm 19, verse 14, the psalmist cries out and he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight. So even what we think about and what we meditate about ought to be acceptable unto God. And this morning I would like to share a message on this, an acceptable sacrifice according to God. Not according to me, or not according to you, or not according to the philosophy or trend to this world, but a sacrifice that is according unto God. But let's just begin in our message this morning in verse 2. And notice, and Abel in the second part of verse 2 was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain was a tiller of the ground, as what we know it today would be somewhat like a farmer. His job was to break up the fallow ground, get the ground ready for the seed, and simply have that seed put in the soil and water it some and make sure that sunlight would get to that soil and seed and be ready for time for harvest. He would take care of the ground. But yet we see also Abel here, a keeper of the sheep. His job was to feed the sheep, tend to the sheep, tend to the flock, oversee the sheep, make sure that he was feeding the sheep and making sure that they were taken care of. But let me just say, in the way of introduction, the occupation of these two is not necessarily impacted to their heart of their giving or their gift. It doesn't really matter if he was a tender to the sheep or if he was a tiller of the ground. That wasn't the problem regarding their gift. But we're going to see what the problem was. Notice verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. What a remarkable thing it is to see here that two brothers knew the principle of giving from the beginning of time. The beginning of time, right from the beginning, there was a principle of offering to the Lord a sacrifice or a gift. Matthew Henry mentions that the worshiping God is not a novel invention. He says, but it was an ancient institution. All the way from the beginning of time, God set it up that we'd be worshipping him through sacrifices. It is a good thing to train up our children not only to work hard and labor with their hands and not only to save money and be a good steward of what God has given them, but it's also good that we train them up to give to the Lord in a very sacrificial way. It's good to train them up, and the best way to train them up is to live an example by them and see how we sacrifice our time, talents, and treasures before them. Notice what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." And he goes on to say in verse 10, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And it's a commandment to us to train up our children to love the Lord. And so therefore, the way we love the Lord, we saw the motivation of giving is by offering first or the best to God out of love. I want you to see something here that is intriguing regarding Cain, and it was his participation in giving. It says, "Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and the offering unto the Lord." And now the Bible states that Cain did give an offering. He participated in what people would call it spiritual things. He was worshipping the Lord. We see Cain somewhat devoted to God to an extent. At least the Bible's telling us that he gave an offering to the Lord, and that we see that he would simply engage in somewhat spiritual things. And this reminds me of Paul's prayer, though. Paul's prayer in Romans chapter 10, beginning from verse 1 to 3, he says, "My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel be saved." He says, "For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." And remember the simply Ephesians 9 and 5 verse 9 and 10. Remember that. He says the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. It is important to know that when it comes to worshiping God, sincerity has no legs to walk on when it comes to the truth of God's word. God has a way and a will in which he desires to be approached, worshipped, attended to. He lets us know these ways. He wasn't a secret. God made it known right from the beginning how he wanted to be approached. But there are ways that seems right unto man, and Cain had his own way. Cain had his own way of thinking, feeling, what felt good, what sounded right, and that's today's Christendom, isn't it? It's important that we know that participating in the things of God is great. There's nothing wrong with that, but we must understand and not be ignorant of God's righteousness in approaching or attending to those things. I want you to please turn quickly to Jude chapter 1. Leave your finger there as we refer back to Genesis 4. But turn to Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. Notice verse 3, as Jude mentions here in verse 3, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Verse 4, "There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness," meaning unbridled lust, having the grace of God in such a way where it gives you license to do what you want, gives you license to serve or worship or do whatever you want, your own way. And he says, "denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice verse 10. "But these speak evil of the, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of who? Cain. I mean, we need to clarify and teach our children that if you want to love God and you want to serve God, it must be the way of God and not the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? I do what I want to do. I worship God the way I want to worship God. I serve God the way I want to serve God. I bring my gifts the way I want to bring my gifts. The way of Cain was his self-worship. The way of Cain was what he was tending to his own, you know, means. It wasn't according to the word of God. We need to teach our children to honor the Lord in the way in which God desires to be honored. My ways, Cain says, my terms. Rick Warren says there is no one-size-fits-all approach to worship and have a friendship with God. That's from the book, Purpose-Driven Life. I remember I was preaching in Vanuatu one day. A man heard us open air preach the gospel. And he called us to preach at his church. His church was an apostolic church. Now, if I have an invitation, I wouldn't say no if I was going to preach the gospel in that place, wanting to help those people. So anyway, I went, and it was the beginning of time of worshiping, and it was a different kind of worship that we would simply be used to, at least in the way we'd see in the early church, and it was just different, I should say that. And we weren't really worshiping with them, and we weren't really praising God. And so anyway, there was time of giving blessings like we did today. And this lady gets up from her pews, gets behind the pulpit, looks straight at us and says, "You can worship God the way you feel is right." I just had my head down. I really didn't know what to say regarding that comment. But how you feel you worship God, you do it. Whatever happened to the relevant word of God teaching us how God wants to be worshipped? In spirit and in truth. Whatever happened to those kind of scriptures that we need to worship God in spirit and in truth? What are they lost? And so what is the truth? And for this thought, by Rick Warren or people like this, can just simply say, worship God how you feel is right to worship God. And whatever tickles your fancy, you do. As long as you're worshiping God, that's the main thing. A man of God once said, Cain was the first emerging worshiper. Emerging means developing. Redefining church, redefining worship. Cain was right from the beginning trying to redefine God's way and how we can approach him. Cain was the first man. Nothing new today, just a multiplicity of Cains. The way of Cains, nothing new. Redefining God and his ways. He wanted to approach God and delve into spiritual things, but he wanted to do it, he goes on to say, his own terms rather than follow the precise instruction of God's word. He didn't want to be boxed in. Sound familiar? Don't want to be boxed in to the mold of God. I'm just like you. I don't want to box God either. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. Now, according to who? According to his power. Man, you just leave God where he is in the realm of his word. And if you want to call that boxing God, I want to box God all the way to I die. Amen? I don't want to veer off the word of God and veer off here and do what I feel is best to worship God and how I feel is right before. I mean, this is just only brings confusion, utter confusion. God has his ways in all kinds of acts of worship, especially relating to his will, not only in giving. I mean, we're talking about even salvation. God has a way in which you and I must be saved. But if we simply go and look at Christendom today and look at the different philosophies today and say, well, rituals and this way, keeping the Sabbath, and you need to do it that way. And these all other religions have a different kind of way, and which Oprah says, but they all lead to what you call God. It's rubbish. We must teach our children that Jesus is the only way to the Heavenly Father. Not a way, He is the way. He's not a way. He's not just one of the ways on the shelf that you can pick to get to heaven. And Jesus Christ is the way. He said it himself in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not through religion, not through good works, not through water baptism, not through a prayer, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his atonement, and it's faith in his finished work and a surrender and a believing upon what he has done. It's not my efforts, it's not my thinking, it's not my feeling, but based upon the promise and the truth, which is Jesus Christ. The way of salvation is being distorted today. People are just confused. As long as you're sincere. No, the Bible says that we need to pray for all men that they come to the knowledge of truth. Because without the knowledge of truth, how can a man be saved? We must come to the knowledge of truth about who we are, sinners, and who he is, a great Savior. And come to the reality of the fact that all of us have all like sheep gone astray. We have all turned to his own way. But praise the living God. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Praise God, with the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're a great sinner, but thank God, he's a great Savior, and he's made a way in which we can approach him. We'll see a little later on that the way of Abel was a picture of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The sacrifice that Abel presented was a picture of Jesus, the better sacrifice. It was that foreshadow, if you would. But what I'm simply saying here today and what the message is about is it's an acceptable sacrifice unto God. God is pleased with what he simply lays it down and how he wants to be approached. Or we can say this, how were you saved? Not only in salvation, but in sanctification. Growing in holiness. Growing to be more like Christ. Not worldly. We need to teach our kids that God is holy, not worldly. We need to teach our kids the way of the Word, not of the way of the world. By the way, let me just say, you will never, ever get teaching about the holiness of God in Hollywood. Never ever in your life would you get it on the television about the holiness of God. If anything, there's profanity and blaspheming God's name. You'll never get the holiness of God out there in the world, on the television set, in the movies. You'll never grasp the holiness of God out there in the world. You'll never get it. We need to teach our children that the way of holiness is found in his word. Resting in Jesus Christ, knowing who he is. Man, when you get closer to God, you know who he is, what he's like, believe me, the more shifting you move away from the world. Oh, the more and more you shift closer to God, because that's what holiness is. It's a separation from something to something. But today, holiness wants to be redefined again, the way of Cain, doesn't it? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Having a license to do what we want, liberated to do what we want, as if God saved us to live for self. That's just the way Christendom is. I mean, after all, we're liberated. Can I just say something? We are liberated to follow the Lord, not the world. Because God mentions that he didn't only save us from our iniquity, but the Bible says that he saved us from the affairs of the world, the affairs and the governing of this life that also has a pull on us. Sanctification, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way of Cain teaches us that grace is a license to sin, to do what you want, You know, it's a measly kind of sacrifice. Has no simply, it doesn't hurt, I should say. It's comfortable. It's a comfort zone Christianity, if you would. Doesn't hurt. But not only we see in Romans 1 that he teaches us that there's an acceptable sacrifice, but the Bible says in Romans 12:2, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind." Think Bible, think God, let God renew your mind. See what God desires. See what holiness is looks like in the sight of God, in the Word of God. And simply, that will be the very thing to what? Renew that ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and will of God. There is no way in the world that if I want to continue living in the world, that I can have a renewed mind proving what is acceptable to God. No way in the world. I want to continue to be influenced by the world, by the music, by the movies, and all the rubbish that's out there. There is no way in the world that I'll hear God's voice. No way in the world. God says, don't be conformed, but be ye transformed. I don't want to listen to worldly ways. I want to listen to God's ways. I want to listen to what God says. I don't want to be influenced by what people say. I don't want to be undiscerning and let my mind wander away and let this person blaspheme God and let this person teach me what moral is and what morals are. No, I don't want to be governed and listen to them. I want to be governed by God. But there's no way in the world I can prove what is right and acceptable if I don't transform my mind, and the transformation won't take place if I'm not in this book. When I'm in this book, I can see just how God wants it. You can have your philosophy, I can have mine. But if I go back to here, I can say, oh, but how does God, what does God say about this? Truly, truly, what does God say about this? And not only in teaching our kids the holiness of God, sanctification, but our prayer life. Teaching them how to pray, hallowed be thy name. Oh, holy are you, O God. The reverence God. Yeah, God is our friend, but he's a holy God. We don't treat him like as if he's a homeboy or he's a person down the street and, you know, I just kind of hang out with him. God is holy. And he wants to be addressed in a holy manner. He does. You read it and you see, hallowed be thy name. You read the psalmist, O God. Not just hanging out with Jesus. It's the terminology we use. Let's hang out with Jesus. You know, you read in their devotional book, hanging out with Jesus, you know. God is holy. God is righteous. God's not cool. God is holy. Awesome. Rightly used. His name is he's awesome. We're in awe. He's magnificent. Understand that. We say, God, we're addressing you. We are holy. And he wants to be addressed in his holiness and who he is, but also praying in Jesus' name. You know, so many times I've prayed with people over there in the chaplaincies and going to prison with chaplains. We pray, and sometimes people don't even pray in Jesus' name. They just say, amen. God wants us to pray in Jesus' name, that name that is above every name. God wants us to come in the holies of holies in the name of Jesus, the biblical, holy, righteous Jesus, not in any kind of Jesus, not the Jesus that fits my mold and thinking and fits my feeling. No, not the way of Cain. God wants me to approach him on his ways, his terms, and also in our worship in music. You know, it saddens me, it really does, to hear an influxuation of Christians today going to people that don't believe they're Christians, but they don't believe that you can keep your salvation. They believe that you can lose it. And it saddens me that there are Christians going to those kinds of people that believe a distorted gospel to get their music. But it sounds good. But they're a way of Cain. Covetousness with feigned words, deceiving. Oh, Christians, let me just say this. Before you go to the contemporary Christian society, know what they believe. Know what they actually are doing. Don't be... Prove, test the person. And majority of the time they believe in this new spirit, new age spirit. Majority of the time they believe in the watered down gospel. And they don't believe in the holiness of God. And they don't believe the grace of God that you'll see. You test them, you listen, and you see the fulfillment. And the majority of the time they believe that you can lose your salvation. And Christians run and flock and listen. Oh, it's wonderful. The music makes me tingle. The beat, it's just great. It moves my heart, you know. But are we going to just really, do we know what kind of worshippers these people are? Are they the way of Cain that seems to have some sort of spirituality approaching God? And by the way, we got 150 chapters of Psalms. Can't find yourself some good lyrics, go find that. Go in there and sing yourself Psalms. And go in that Bible and sing, sing until your heart is filled, making melody with your heart. You don't need that rubbish. People making merchandise feel good. Just makes me feel good. God doesn't want feel good worshippers. He wants worshippers that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Holy worshippers that come before God and see who God is. God would look down and say, oh, listen, that I don't accept that. It's got good lyrics, but I don't accept that. It's the way of the world. And we listen to it. And our heart is somewhat moved. But test it, I beg you. Test it by the word of God and see if it's acceptable under God. Not how you feel, and not how the music makes you tingle, and not how it just makes you cry and makes you self-pity. No, music is worshiping God. And when we worship God, listen, our soul is edified. It's a byproduct of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It's not about the music and how it makes us feel good. It's about how we worship God in spirit and in truth. When we walk in the spirit of righteousness, when we just simply sing praises to His name. Another one is we need to teach our children the first fruit principle of giving. Give God first place. To honor Him. To do our best for the glory of God. To be willing to help our children excel to God's potential, not our potential. So I want God's best for your son. Let's pray together for that. I want what God wants for you. And I want to teach them to honor God with all that God has given them, with their treasures, talents. I want to set their example for them. I want to teach him the way of the word, not the way of the world. I want to teach him the way of the Lord, not the way of Cain. Cain, they went in the way of Cain. That's what the Bible says. They turned the grace of God into cheap, rubbish means. Now, why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's rejected? I mean, let's see the difference here. Go back to Genesis 4, verse 3. And by the way, as Jude refers back to the Old Testament, we can refer back to the Old Testament also. Many people won't refer back to the Old Testament. They're afraid that the dispensation, which is right, there are dispensation in the way God deals with people. God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice, amen? We've got the Word of God here. But we learn principles and we see character traits and we see what God says about these people and we can apply them in our lives and we can get the general principle. And in this case, we are getting the principle of being worshippers of truth and worshippers that simply worship God that is acceptable unto Him, not unto me. Not unto the world. Not unto this flowing Christianity, this movement, if you would. Not this thinking of self-elevation, prosperity, movement. But rather we're seeing a sacrifice that is acceptable unto God, and there's no doubt God teaches us from these men, Cain and Abel. And so what do we learn from Cain? Notice verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and the offering unto the Lord. And what we learn from Abel, and Abel he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel. He considered his offering. Why? It was the firstling, it was the first, and it was the fat thereof. It was, look at, the best of the best. Ah. Sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. The best of the best. The Bible mentions here that Cain gave the fruit of the ground. There's no indication that Cain gave the first or the best, and it's said that Cain gave the wrong kind of offering. But the Bible does mention that Abel approached God in an excellent way. Notice, please, Hebrews 11:4. I'll get you to turn there if you would. Leave it. Hebrews 11:4. Notice what it says there. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Wow, like that phrase. He being dead yet speaketh. So why did he offer excellent and better sacrifice? Because he did it according to God's ways. He did it according to God. That's what faith is. He acted by faith. Abel's offering indicates that he had faith in God's will, and his gift and his offering proved it. Because that's just the way God wanted it. And if you're perplexed about how God wants something, chuck it out. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. When I'm perplexed about something, whether this is honoring to God or whether it's not honoring to God, I don't want to do it. Because it could be that it may not be honoring to God, and I could be feeling, well, this is great and I'm doing something good for God. God doesn't want Charlie's good feel good worshiping. He wants it based upon his word, his way, his truth, and by faith I believe it, by faith I diligently seek his ways. That's what faith is. Abel gave his offering by faith. He believed in God's word. This will indicate to us that he wanted a precise sacrifice. God just didn't want any kind at that particular time. He wanted a precise sacrifice. And Abel believed God's word, obeying and doing it just the way God instructed. Some commentaries basically say Cain was no doubt the firstborn of Adam and Eve. And he was the younger brother. And it mentions in Luke that Abel was a prophet. In Luke 11:50, notice he says, and the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Notice verse 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. He goes on to say this commentary that God spake through Abel and instructed the family that he was to be approached through the sacrifice of the lamb, which pointed to the coming lamb of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And he goes on to say, Abel obeyed and brought the prescribed offering, shedding its blood and killing it as God had instructed. Cain decided to come on his own terms. Instead, he brought an offering of vegetables that he had grown with his own hands. Matthew Henry says about this, after the fall, God must be worshipped by sacrifices, a way of worship which carries in it a confession of sin and a desert of sin, a profession of faith in a Redeemer who was to be a ransom for the souls of men. Hebrews 11:6 goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me just say that faith that pleases God is a faith that seeks God's will and ways, not our ways, not our thought or thinking or what feels right or feels good, but God's precise way found in his word. And he says in Hebrews 11:4, he obtained witness that he was righteous. A righteous man of God or a righteous woman of God is one that has their feet or their steps ordered by the Lord. And the way we have our feet ordered by the Lord is when it's ordered by his word. And we don't slide, we don't move. We stay like we heard, unmovable on the word of God. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Having our steps ordered by the Lord, Abel had an excellent way because it was the way of God. Not the way of Cain, not the way of man, not the way of self, not the way of self-thinking, feeling, but the way of God, the way of truth, the way of righteousness. Cain gave his offering by works. He believed in self. He wanted to do it his own way. And Cain's response to God and his brothers Abel proves he had a wicked and wrong motive. I want you to see verse 5. In Genesis 4:5, he says, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. God did not consider it at all. He did not acknowledge it. He didn't look at it. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He was angry toward God, and he was bitter and envious against his brother. Notice verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, he says this, he asks him a question. He says, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? He says, and why is our countenance falling? Why is it changed? Verse 7, he says, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? He says, if you presented the sacrifice well and good, what's the problem? But he goes on to say, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You know, Cain will be simply judged by his own sin, consumed by his own sin. All those that want to simply trust in self-righteousness and feelings and self and do it your way, sin lieth at the door. And it's ready to come, judgment proving their heart. Proverbs 21:27, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Think about that for a moment. Presenting sacrifices to the Lord and doing it with a wicked mind, ill intentions, wrong motives. Notice a few things regarding Cain. Number one, he wasn't humble. He was not humble. I mean, he could have looked at his brother and he could have said, well, God considered his offering. How can I learn from that? What's the truth behind this? How can I simply... But he wasn't humble. And he was proud. So what proved that he was proud? God resisted his offering. Therefore, God resisted him. God didn't look at it. It was just simply not noticed. It was not regarded. It was not considered. And when it was come to his, we could say, attention, there's one or two things that he could have done. He could have said, Lord, I am so sorry. Forgive me. And he could have come to the Lord and repented from that which God would simply show him. Praise God for his grace. Amen. Praise God when he shows us that our sacrifices weren't according to his ways, but according to ours. And we can simply say, God, I'm so sorry. But yet he tried to simply come and simply take vengeance against you. There was no problem. The problem, if it would say against Cain, would have been with God. What would it have to do with his brother? But did you know in the perilous time shall come? Did you know under the list of those different wicked things that the wicked people or those that do not want to offer their sacrifices by faith to God would have something against those that do? They'll despise them. They'll call their good evil. And that's what just happened here. He was envious of his brother. He was proud. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. The best thing that you and I could do before God, even to save Christians, is say, Lord, I know that this is not according to your will. I messed up, Lord, but please help me to give a better sacrifice by faith according to your word. We saw two men that the Lord speaks about in a parable. Remember the Pharisee and the publican. They both stand, or one of them stands before God, and one of them bows and beats upon his chest. And the Pharisee looked upon his efforts and said, oh, look, how wonderful my sacrifices, how wonderful, look what I've done. I've given, I've fasted, I've prayed. But yet God looks at this man, the publican, that beat his hand upon his chest and wouldn't even look upon heaven and said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Those that look at themselves unworthy of God can be moved by faith to offer God a sacrifice that is according to his will, not according to us. But he wasn't. He was proud. Cain was not only proud, but he wasn't. He was not broken. He wasn't a man that was broken before God. He wasn't a man that came before God and just simply asked God to forgive him of his sins. In Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. Go to verse 19 and he says, then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness. Then, when someone is broken before God and comes before God and sees God to be a holy God and says, God, I'm not worthy of thee, God is able to accept that sacrifice made by faith, given to God by faith. And then thirdly, he wasn't thankful. Cain's discontent attitude and covetousness proved his unthankfulness. He was envious, greedy of gain. He had no sacrifices at all. It was just but cheap secondhand giving. It was crumb giving. And therefore he wasn't thankful. When someone comes and gives a sacrifice by faith according to God's word, that person's thankful. Number one, for what God has done in their life. They can see it. For God's goodness, for God's grace, for his mercy. That person can see God's grace and goodness and that they're not even worthy. But if it weren't for God's faithfulness, we'll all be consumed. We'll all be finished. And you're just so thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not gone with the wind of my iniquity. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not taken by the cords of sin. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've shown me who I am and what I've done, my wicked heart. And I can simply, honestly say, as you scrutinize me and as you see this wicked heart, Lord, thank you. Thank you just having mercy upon me. I don't think Abel would have sought his sacrifice to be something, wow, just acceptable, reasonable, service. It's all we could do. Got nothing to give and there's nothing that I could do would ever outgive you. But Lord, I just, oh, I give what you command, and I want to do it by faith, and I want to please you, dear God. Notice, if you would, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Notice verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that ye have, for he hath said, the Lord will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a verse. But notice, if you would, verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him, Jesus, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, that we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God, and continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And a thankful person will give a sacrifice that is according to God. A content person will give a sacrifice that is according to God. It's not what he could simply get out, but what God is doing in him. Christianity today is what? Get out of God. Our liberty is in Christ. It's all self. It's all governed about self. What I can or can't do for me. But whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to dear God? What do you want? What is acceptable to you? Oh, proving all things. Lord, how do you want me to pray? Lord, how do you want me to worship? Lord, how do you want me to give? Lord, I want to know. In spirit and in truth, I want to worship you. I don't want to go in the way of Cain. I don't want to go in the way of Cain. Even as Christians, we have a tendency to go our own way. And we have a tendency to think, to say, well, all that we've done, oh, look, I made it today, Lord. Wow. And God would simply say, you're missing the whole picture. You're missing it. You're absolutely missing. Lord, help me. Help me. Bring my worship and all that I do and my gifts and my sacrifices and my talents and treasures and all that you've given me, my strength and my labor, my thoughts and my mind, dear God, and let them be acceptable in thy sight, not in the sight of Charlie, not in the sight of my parents, not in the sight of my siblings, not in the sight of my friends or the world. Dear God, let them be acceptable in thy sight and thy sight alone. Not comparing. Coming before God and say, God, before you, and meaning it with all my heart. I want to know what pleases you. It's faith that pleases him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by? And hearing by? What do you say, Lord, about this matter? Let's be people of the book, not the people of feeling or the current culture. It sounds good, accept it. No. What does God say about it? I guarantee you, when you read the book from cover to cover, from cover to cover, when you read the Bible and you keep reading and you keep reading and you see God's heart, it's nowhere near that contemporary rubbish. Nowhere near. Don't have a clue about the holiness and the magnificence of God and the awe of God. Read it from cover to cover And you see how God wants to be worshipped. And you see how he tells us to be ye separate, saith the Lord, and be ye holy as I am holy. You read it cover to cover, and you'll see the awe of God, the Spirit of God. Look, at I said it before, I'll say it again. It's not trendy. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. God wants to be worshipped in the beauty of holiness. And may God help us to understand what that meaneth and what is acceptable unto you, Lord. Not this wicked mind. Not these thoughts that are against your ways. No, Lord. The hardest thing as a Christian, as I was growing in the Lord, to leave was these two things. And I struggle with them still. Movies and music. And they were the very two things that hindered me from knowing God in a very intimate way. It robbed me of power. You say, why are they so controversial? Study the book and you'll find out. They're not controversial for the sake of it. They're controversial because there is a fighting against God's way. When it's not controversial, praise God. But when it's controversial, it takes you and it takes me to go study and say what is acceptable unto you, God, unto you. And if you haven't got an answer, just stay in the book. Don't do anything silly. Wait on the Lord. May God help us to have sacrifices acceptable unto God and not go in the way of Cain. Let's pray.